Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Broken Earth Radio Show. Apologies for not being on last week. We were on, but nobody could hear us, so bear with me just while I do a couple of sound checks to make sure that people can actually hear us this week. So, just one second. Now, I'm trying to listen back. Here we go, one second. Okay, it sounds like it's working okay to me, and I can't ask people to check to see if it sounds like it's okay to them, because the chat room's not showing up for me. It's always something every freaking week. But welcome to the show. I'm really not sure what we've got plenty of things for you to talk about this week. I presume we're talking about Mel's Hall. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Right, okay. That's all right. We did speak for about an hour last week, and all that was just mumbo jumbo because it was a bad signal or something. But if anybody wants to give us a call about a previous reading, give us updates, anything you want to share with us, if it's a strange story, unusual experience, something paranormal or anything, you know, give us a call on Skype number 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. Please sit back, open your minds, and enjoy the show.
And again the night, see night.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
You can hear me. Great, great. Well, there is no one in the chat room, I'm assuming, because... Oh, no, there's somebody in the chat room now. Somebody made it in. It's but the person signed in as a guest, so that they're probably just kind of listening to the show. But...
Well, I guess it's just me, then. Let me try and refresh it and see.
Yeah, try to refresh it and see if you can make it in there. Yeah.
Blog Talk Radio. One second. Did you hear that then?
No, I didn't hear it.
No.
No, I didn't hear it. No.
I'm hearing myself. Okay, no, it's not coming up. So, you know, if anybody's trying to talk to me in the chat room, I'm not there. It's because I'm not there.
It's because the computer he's on is not letting him in there.
Yeah, at least we got a signal this week. That's the important thing. But it's just one thing after another. Thanks, yeah. Blog Talk Radio.
It's always nothing. Something. Seriously. But anyway. Well, let's
we're
see.
We're going to be talking about Mel's Hole.
We're going to be talking about Mel's Diner.
Again.
Mel's Hole. And today is May the 21st. It's my father's birthday.
Happy birthday.
And my father, who passed away last month, would have been 75 today. So, happy birthday. Cheers.
Cheers.
We'll be talking about Mel's Hole. And what were you going to say? What were you going to do?
Sorry. I was just going to start talking about some of the news from the past couple of weeks.
Okay.
Stuff that I did cover last week, but obviously mm-hmm. there. Now, one of the things that interested me was 3D printed gums.
Right.
I was talking about.
Right.
And I said that somebody's created blueprints now for a gun you can print out. You can get yourself a 3D printer, like for a couple of grand or whatever, and you can download the blueprints to print out your own plastic gun. themselves the parts and you assemble it. And there was, within 2 days, there was about 100,000 downloads for it. Now, let me read a bit of this to you here. Defense Distributed told the news site it was surprised by the amount of interest its Liberator gun had generated. Earlier in the week, the company demonstrated the firearm being fired. But even before any more guns come off the DIY printing presses, there are moves afoot to ban it. Californian Senator Leland Yee said he wanted a law passed to stop the manufacture of 3D printed guns. I plan to introduce legislation that will ensure public safety and stop the manufacturing of guns invisible to metal detectors and that can be easily made without a background check, he said in a statement. According to Defense Distributed, most of the 100,000 downloads have been in the US, followed by Spain, Brazil, Germany, and the UK. The blueprint has already been uploaded to the file sharing site of the Pirate Bay, but it has become the most popular file in the site's 3D printing category. It took Defense Distributed 8 months to produce the firearm, which was assembled from separate components produced on an $8,000 3D printer bought from auction site eBay. While downloading the blueprints, they may not be illegal. Any UK citizen who made and owns such a handgun could face arrest, according to the UK's Metropolitan Police. To actually manufacture any type of firearm in the UK, you have to be a registered firearms dealer, it said in the statement. Therefore, unless you are a RFD, it would most definitely be an offence to make a gun using the blueprints. It may be illegal for an RFD to manufacture a gun this way as long as they had the necessary authorities. But they were trying to ban it already, you know.
Right.
We will print this out. So it seems quite popular, but this was about a week ago, and I've not looked into any more updates since then. So something else could have happened since then. So, yeah.
And one of the things that I was commenting on last week was that, you know, this has been going on for a while. You know, where they've been, because like a couple of years ago, I saw something about it. But I believe back then, I don't know now, but back then, the guns were, you can only really use them once. But once is enough, I suppose.
What do they need?
Yeah. So once is enough.
But is that encroaching on our rights, banning these things, or, you know? But, you know, sometimes, you know, shrouded with laws and restrictions that get worse, but which is terrible, and it shouldn't be like that. But maybe if we could be more trustworthy as a society, some of these things, some of them may not have been put into place, you know what I mean?
Right.
We could be trusted, but it's not our fault, all of it. Not going to go down that road. Anyway. Also, I want to talk about this. Just to show you, talking about the law and restrictions and that. Here in the UK, if this loads up on your time today.
If anybody wants to give us a call, I was just going to say this while you were fooling around with that, but if anybody wants to call in, our number is 347-215-8421. Our lines are open, a sample reading, or if you want to talk about any of the current events, just give us a call. What were you going to say? Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, well, this is loading. I don't know what the hell's wrong with this. I just wanted to say wasn't there some student recently who somebody saw him and they called the police because he was carrying a pressure cooker with rice in to his friend's house. So they geeked it and someone went, he's got a pressure cooker. Quick, call the police.
I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah. You know, because of light of what's went on with the Boston bombings. Yeah. They said, oh, he must be making a bomb. And they think he was
making a bomb dinner.
Yeah. And the police surrounded the house with guns, I believe, and stuff. Come on. They're going to make pressure cookers illegal soon.
Well, after they busted in there, did everybody just kind of sit back and have a good laugh and eat? No.
Well, no. Sorry. Nothing is working. Oh, hold on. We got something here. Here we go.
Yay!
Right, here we are. I wanted to talk to you about this to you. A student... Oh, darn it.
What is it called?
What?
The article.
I don't care. Diabetic high school beaten by police officers. I've got it here.
Okay.
There was another one. I was trying to get. A student who was arrested and beaten for falling asleep at school is now suing an Alabama city, its police department, and some school employees for civil rights violation, battery, and negligent supervision and hiring. The courthouse used service reports that after the diabetic student fell asleep while in a room reserved for in-school suspensions, a school police officer slammed her face into a cabinet and then arrested her. The incident occurred at a high school, however. Sorry. In Hoover, even. Alabama. Ashlyn Avery, who has diabetes, asthma, and sleep apnea, was suspended for cutting class and had to sit in the school suspension room while she was reading Huckleberry Finn. She dozed off. First, the in-school suspension supervisor walked over to her cubicle and struck it, which caused the cubicle to hit Avery's head, according to the lawsuit. She woke up but soon fell back asleep. The supervisor, Joshua Woodard, then took the book from her and slammed it on. That's really on. Which caused the book to hit the student in the chest. Avery was then told to leave the room, according to the complaint, and the police officer, Christopher Bryant, followed her. Bryant slapped her backpack and then proceeded to shove Ashlyn face first into a file cabinet and handcuffed her, the complaint states. While in the car, Avery vomited. She was taken to hospital and had to wear a cast as a result of her injuries. Ashlyn required follow-up care to her shoulder, arm, and wrist. Ashlyn also required extended mental counseling for trauma caused by the defendants, the lawsuit states. The Averys are seeking compensation and punitive damages for civil rights violations, batteries, neglect, supervision, and hiring. It goes on, but I mean, you know, that's what, she fell asleep. So rest her and beat her up.
Wake up! That is absolutely nuts. That is absolutely crazy. I just can't believe. Well, okay, I shouldn't say that because I can, but what? I just don't even know what to say.
Let me go on to this other story as well. Now it's loaded. A girl aged 10 was told by police, this is in the UK, by the way, that she could be arrested for causing criminal damage over a game of hopscotch. Lily Mae Allen was playing with a friend on a grid she had chalked onto the pavement in front of her home when a marked police van pulled up. An officer warned the girls that using chalk on the pavement was criminal damage and they could be arrested for it before driving off. But the girls did not understand what they had done wrong, and Lily Mae is now reluctant to play outside, according to her father. After Lily Mae told her parents about the incident, they called the police to clarify the law. The officers refused to confirm whether drawing a hopscotch grid in chalk on the pavement was an offence, even though it washes away with the rain. The girl's father, Bob Allen, 51, who runs his own karaoke business, why is that relevant, said the policeman said to her that what she had done was criminal damage and she could be arrested. He then drove off. She didn't come into the house for a while and didn't tell her straight away because she thought I was going to tell her off for being naughty. She couldn't even remember what the policeman had told her it was, only criminal something. He added, she is only 10 and I didn't know what she had done wrong. I rang up the police and asked if choking up a hopscotch grid wasn't a fact, and they wouldn't say yes or no and said it was a grey area. But, I mean, Yeah.
I can't even do anything anymore.
I know, you can't even, like, play hopscotch.
It's just a completely...
I remember when I was a kid, drawing hopscotches walking around naked with a lolly outside my house. I mean, you can't do that these days, can you?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Naked?
Yeah. Well, I might not be at the front of the house, but in the garden, like, you know.
Well, that's different. So, outside. That's different.
But, you know,
I mean, in the garden.
Doing. I mean, what
yeah.
you do?
You can't do that at all these days. How cute is that, though? Anyway.
I know, but, I mean, you think about it, you know. Things are very restricted these days.
Very restricted.
People are like, as a kid, a naked kid throwing hopscotch on the pavement. It's a breast in.
We used to do... We used to draw hopscotch in the street with rock. Like a gravel rock. Like the... Because you could, you know, it would leave the... We use rocks. We would draw our hopscotch thing.
Yeah.
We had to change rocks a lot because sometimes it wouldn't leave the dust behind or whatever, but...
So, but it washes away. I mean, it's not as if they're getting graffiti and profanities outside the police station. It's like they want to draw in hopscotch outside their own house, you know.
They probably honestly didn't know. The cops probably literally didn't know anything about it. Some cop probably just said it because of just the hang-up he has about anything. And so they didn't know how to answer the question. They didn't want to say no if somebody actually knew it to be wrong, because nobody's going to think about that. Nobody thinks about that.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's like, you know, police being called because the kid's got a lumen yellow water pistol at school. The police
right.
are all in a fluster and the teachers now. But, you know, I mean... Remember when I was in school and that was just a thing, hey, bring out your water pistol and that. And
right.
So the people spoiling it for us.
Yes,
I'm going to read through this one, but the farmer's facing over two years in jail and $10,000 in fines for feeding community in Wisconsin. It's like he's been giving them serves. Private buying club. I think he's been it's all about, you know, growing their own food and raw milk drinkers mm-hmm. and stuff, because, you know, raw milk's illegal. Can't be, you know, selling raw milk. Can't be smoking marijuana. Can't be fishing for fish without a license.
Can't be collecting rainwater.
Can't be letting, you know, it's like nature's illegal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Baby planting stuff in your own garden. Baby playing hopscotch outside. 1984. Before I continue, did you want to have a break?
Yeah. Yeah, we can have a break. Let's take a little
break.
Song,
weird song coming up, by the way, at some point. It's called Boom Bip. I think it's one of the weirdest songs I know, and I discovered it about 13 years ago, and I just recently managed to find it again after searching. It'll be worth the wait. When are you playing it?
I'm going to play it now. It's actually called Slut.
Yeah.
And the band is called Boom Bip. Yeah.
Yeah. And Dose One, and it's called Slight.
Slight. This is Broken Earth Radio. Remember, if you're wanting to give us a call because our lines are completely open today. The number is 347-215-8421, and we are doing sample readings. We are talking about current events. In a moment, we'll be talking about Males Whole. Oh, you want to know something interesting? Today at the gym, I was in the sauna, and I walked in, and there was this man sitting in there, and he was kind of stretching and stuff, you know, you know, and, you know, my,
you
my
naked squats on the
pretty much. No, but my you know, my lower back has been killing me since like Saturday. I mean, it was just horrible. But it's my hamstrings being too tight. But anyway, so I went in there and I was like wanting to do some stretches myself, but this guy's in there and I'm like, oh, well, can't do that. And he was like, hello. And I said, hello. And I just kind of sat down and he turned to me and he said, can you tell me when I'm going to get a job?
What? How did he know?
Well, the thing is that, I mean, people are always asking me. People are always asking me if I'm a psychic or if I'm, you know, a witch or if I'm something. People are always asking me that stuff. I mean, that's not even a big deal. But he just flat out asked me, can you tell me when I'm going to get a job? And I was like, well, how are you today? He's like, I'm not too good. And I was like, well, share with me what's going on with you. So he told me that he was working for a nonprofit place, and they hadn't been paying into the unemployment security, which is basically it's in the United States it's what you got to, you know, it's unemployment, kind of like living on the dole, except a little bit different. It's a little bit different. Well, anyway, so I said, "Oh, you're working for a church?" And he said, "Yeah, I was working for one of those big churches downtown, and." You know, they were paying everything else, you know, FICA and Social Security and blah, 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 but they weren't paying that. And I was like, well, you know, I really do believe that this country would be in a lot better state of affairs if churches had to pay taxes, because there's a church on every corner. And if they were paying income taxes, you know, we would be in such a better situation. Not only that, but a lot of people tithe 10% of their incomes to churches. And
well, George, I read a quote by George Carlin yesterday that actually was on about that.
Really? What did he say?
Something about a tax church and stuff and things.
Yeah. Quite. But, I mean, that's just, you know, it's something that I've always really, well, since I understood, I've thought that should be the case. But anyway, so he's talking on and on and on. And I was like, well, you know, I see you working around the 6th of July. And I said, if you start looking for work tomorrow, just give yourself a day to just kind of get ready and start looking for work tomorrow. I said, of course, you're going to find work before that point, but I just see you working around the 6th of July. And I was kind of in my mind thinking of, you know, what day is that? But it's a Thursday. I looked at the calendar. No, I'm sorry. The 6th of June is a Thursday. The 6th of July is it's a Saturday. It's a Saturday. But anyway, so he said around the 6th of July, okay, I'll start looking. But, you know, he just kind of, you know, talked a little bit, and then he, you know, excused himself, said thanks a whole lot and excused himself. And
there you go. Excuse me.
No. But
while he was doing some squats.
But,
sorry, go on.
But no, but I just thought that was kind of funny because he just flat out said to me, can you tell me when I'm going to get a job? And I'm like, well, you know, what would you like to share? You know, it's pretty funny. But anyway, yeah, let's play a song. And when we come back, we're going to take the caller. I think there's a caller from 17 area code. So, but yeah, we're going to listen to the first.
Alone.
What? Ever.
I said, prepare to have your mind. I said it right the first time. Mind blown. By Boombit.
By Boombit. Okay, we'll be right Boom back and, with the song. And then, like I said, we're going to take a caller after this. This is Broken Earth Radio.
Yeah.
We'll be back. Thank you. Was weird.
Yeah, if, you know, if anybody can tell me what the lyrics are of that song, word for word, they'll win an Apple.
An Apple computer?
Oh, an Apple.
You mean some crappy old Apple?
Yeah.
You're not a very good gifter.
No, I mean, the lyrics, something about seeing a wiener on his birthday. Something.
Okay, let's let it go. Let it go. Let it
let's
go.
Let the green go.
Caller at 617. This is Broken Earth Radio Show. You've reached Nunu and Bill. How can we help you?
I'm sorry. You didn't sound like you were sure.
enjoyed the song then, yeah?
Oh, that was a song?
Probably putting the phone down and going to get something to drink while that song was playing.
You know, you're right, I'm
turn it down, don't listen to that music.
I will give you three guesses on who's on the phone.
Annette.
Yay! Yeah, you miss me?
We'll get two more guesses? You said I get three.
You get two more guesses.
right.
Just keep guessing for the heck of
it. I'm sorry, I was quick. I'm sorry.
How are you doing, Miss Annette?
I'm good, honey. How are you?
We're better. It's been a good rough.
Blog Talk Radio messing us around. Problem every week with Blog Talk Radio.
And
oh, no.
We've had a lot of things going on, but the radio program mm-hmm. has been the pits, and my father passed away.
Oh, honey.
And
yeah,
it's been a trip. But and today's his birthday, so. I was trying to load a song up to play for him, but didn't ever get to do that because we were rushing around. But you know. But
oh,
I got to see my brother a lot,
yeah.
which is really great because he was here for a couple of weeks, and then he went to Africa.
Oh wow!
And then,
what part of Africa?
He was in the butt crack of Africa, Djibouti.
I'm in Djibouti right now. real dry.
Oh, my God.
And he said, I don't ever want to go to Africa again. And I was like, well, just try to make it so you don't have to. But, you know, he's in the military.
Swaziland, then, where they've recently made it illegal for witches to fly their brooms above 150 feet.
Stop making stuff up, Bill.
I'm not. They take witches very seriously in Swaziland, you know. I don't want to make fun of them on the radio, but that's what they've done. They've brought out a law. It's illegal for them to fly their brooms above 150 feet because it might interfere with planes. Seriously, you can check that out. I'm not making it up.
Well, bless their heart.
You couldn't make that up.
You have to make sure not to fly over Swaziland space. But anyway, how have you been the past little bit?
I've been good. I've been good. Yeah. I've been pretty good. Mine's a little clear and feeling a lot better, not feeling so bogged down. But what it is that I actually went for a job interview, and it's been a while, about 2 weeks ago, and it's close to home, but I don't want to take something close to home because it's close to home.
Right.
I don't want to go out towards the city, but I would take it if it was offered.
Mhm. So you want to see if you're going to be offered it?
Yes, I'm sorry, yes. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
And I was just laughing
today
at you. So.
Today has been a mess. Especially when I was like, I'm telling you, I didn't know what was going on with me the other day. My back was hurting so badly.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, Bill's going to kill me if I wake him up. Oh, my back. You know, and I'm serious. My back was hurting so badly. And then, you know, I managed to get it okay. And I think I overdosed on Tylenol PM or something.
You should have called it Tylenol AM PM 24/7.
But anyway, so today I was like, okay, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to get in this pool and then I'm going to get into the sauna and I'm going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that man was in there and he was just like, can you tell me what I'm going to do for a job? And I'm like, really? And I said, I do this all day.
He was talking in a work sense, wasn't he?
Bill.
Let's hope he was talking about work. When are you going to get a job? You've been here for 2 minutes already.
Okay, Bill. He's so nasty. He's so nasty. Wait. He's just so nasty. Okay. Let's see what happens over the next couple of days. It actually does look like they may offer you something. However, I'm kind of concerned about the money.
Mm. Well, actually, it's part-time. It's just 2.5
maybe
days.
Maybe that's why.
And I like it because it's summertime. And I
have
those extra days in between. And it also gives me an opportunity to have some income, but also to look for something full-time.
Right. Well, I do believe that you are going to find something full-time, to be honest, and around it looks like July, August time, but before that it even looks like you're going to have some other little ways to make some money, like some little ways to just kind of make money, but it's something that you probably wouldn't do again. Like if people come up to you and say, hey, can you help me do this? Or you may find, oh my goodness, they're looking for people to do blah, 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 blah. You know, there's some random things that it looks like that are going to be bringing you some money, but it does look like around July, August time, you are going to be finding something that's full time.
Okay. Okay, so the part-time is not going to come through?
No, it looks like over the next couple of days, you probably are going to be offered something. It actually looks like it could be tomorrow, but I'm just saying give it a couple of days. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because, again, like I said, the job's part-time, and that's what they're looking for. But, and they're also looking that the job is going to expand into full-time. But the thing is, they're not offering, because it's such a small office, they're not offering insurance or anything like that. And I'm used to having insurance and, you know, 401K. I'm used to really the big benefit packages. And I want that and I need that.
Yeah, I need insurance too.
Yeah. To me, that's, you know, as I've gotten older, that's important, you know, to have that. And they're not offering that, you know, going forward, because the office is so small. But if they were to move the job into full-time, and I like what I'm doing there with them, I would really want to negotiate more money, too, so that I can get insurance.
Right.
So I can purchase my own insurance.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. Well, like I said, there's something coming your way. There is something coming your way pretty soon. I'm not going to rule out it being that place.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm saying that is because I was looking to see if that place was going to hire you, and it looked like it was something that wasn't going to offer you job security right now. Mm. But then a little bit further out, what I was seeing is that, there is going to be a full sharing, which means full time, a little bit down the road. So it could be after summertime. You know, they really do like you, and they're going to bring you on. And it honestly, you know, it's something that if they're just testing, they might just be looking at you just to test you out. You know, they may be kind of saying, you know what, we do need somebody, but right now, let's just hire somebody part-time and see how they work.
Right. It's like the 90-day thing. You know, you have a 90-day probation, because they did say that.
Right.
You know, and,
that's
you know,
a nice strategy for them to use, you know.
Absolutely, but I feel the same way, too. It's 90 days for me whether or not I like you.
You got it. I mean, no, it's the truth. It's the truth.
Yeah.
You got to see.
Both ways.
You got to walk in there and see if you can actually see yourself walking in here every day forever. You know.
Absolutely.
You got to sit around the people and feel like, okay, do I want to be around you guys always? You know, that's just the way that we have to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's definitely the way that I'm thinking about it. I mean, you know, I have an interview Thursday. I mean, I'm still putting resumes out there. They're not, they cannot be the only one.
Right.
You know, I like them. They're close to work, but still, I still have to put, you know, my eggs in other baskets as well. You know, and see what the best offer is for the moment. But the part-time is good for me. Like I said, it's summer, and you know, by fall, you know, if they like me and I'm on and I like the package when negotiating, then I will stay. If not, then I'm going to have to go.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, you know, just see how you feel.
Right.
You're really fortunate, especially being in, I think you're in Massachusetts.
Yes.
Yeah, you're real fortunate being in Massachusetts to find something.
Yes.
You know, so just, I think that, you know, but I don't see you as somebody who's ever really had a problem, you know.
No, but, actually, this is the first time that it's been the longest. It's been the longest in which I haven't worked. It's close to a year and a half. This is the longest for me.
Yeah.
And, you know,
so you should be kind of excited, too, just to get out there as well. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Just to kind of get your clothes on and get back out there and meet some new people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what I'm really looking. I'm really looking forward for. I'm looking forward to, you know, to the future, you know, and really,
right,
you know, putting things out there as to what it is that I really need and want. And one of them is, again, it's that the benefit package. You know, I want the vacation and the holidays off, and I want those things, and I'm used to them, and I want them. You know,
right.
That's the incentive for me to, you know.
That's one of the things I do miss about a job too, is vacation and not having to figure out how I'm going to take one, or not having to work whenever I take my trips, you know.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know, I have to be able to, with the work I do, I have to be able to be available to people. And,
absolutely,
you know, just basically doing the same thing in a different place.
Right, yep,
that's
exactly,
like,
yep.
But yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and just being around people, because I really enjoy and getting up in the morning. And, again, just having, you know, I've accrued, you know, enough vacation time where I can take, you know, 2 weeks in the summer and 2 weeks in the fall and be paid for it. I miss that. I miss that. You know, and I want that back in my life. I want to have that again. So, yeah. But, all right, my dear. It's good to hear your voice. You too, Bill.
Thank you. I am here.
He was sitting there smelling his armpits or something. It's pretty gross.
I wasn't smelling my armpits. Later, I'd do my exercises first.
Oh, he was looking at his.
Now I was feeling something, like something was touching me in my arm, and then it was touching all up on my face.
Wow.
What it was.
It was a ghost.
It might just be fully used or something. Maybe.
What?
It's like telling me to shut up, pushing me in the face, and you shut up.
Maybe.
Do you guys watch any of the like Bio has what is it? It's not the Dead Files. It's what is it? Ghosts Caught on Tape, where people go in and they do.
Is that
the
name of the show? Was it?
I'm sorry. What was that, Bill?
Is that the name of the show? Was it Ghost Story?
Yeah, I think it's Ghost. My Ghost Story Caught on Tape. Where these people just randomly go in and they do these ghost investigations, and they catch it on tape.
That was that one. I believe that was the show. I think that was the show I was watching, and I just about had a nervous breakdown.
Had
some woman, and I mean, the ghost pulled her kid out of the bed, and it was beating her up with a blanket. I mean, I'm telling you that I couldn't watch it. I had to cut it off.
No, it wasn't Paranormal Witness. Though.
Was that Paranormal? I don't know. There was one of those shows.
I think it was Paranormal Witness.
I about broke down.
My ghost was it? My Ghost Story Caught on Tape. These people just randomly.
And I tried watching the Dead Files. I tried watching the Dead Files, but I can't remember what episode I saw. And I had to. I mean, some of these shows, I really do have to cut them off.
Yeah, because I just want. If you watch, I want to know your opinion of that, of the Dead Files.
Well, see, I get terrified. Some shows. I know, like, I can watch, and I mean, I'm not trying to badmouth anybody's shows. Anybody who's getting paid to have a show, it's all good. But like, Paranormal University, or whatever that's called, the people in Pennsylvania that have, that show is thumbs down. You know, I watch that, and I'll just be like, whatever. Because all of a sudden, they start having church and stuff like that, and I'm like, okay, never mind. The pitch. And then, but some of these shows, I'm like, it's daytime, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I can't watch this. And I'm looking around, making sure nothing's reaching out from behind me to touch me on my shoulder, you know. I'm like, oh, no, I can't
But I will
that.
Tell you
what I tell
Dead
you.
Files is what scares me. Dead Files, because you see nothing. She sees everything. And some of the stuff that she sees, I don't know how – I really watch it because of her. Because I'm like,
right.
You see and sense all of this, and it's not what she sees and senses. It's not good at all. And I'm like, how does she survive? How does she actually not go insane? Because what she describes, it's, if I could see them, forget it. I'm gone. I will probably lose my mind. I mean, you see, you know, these creatures crawling on the ceiling. You see things coming through the windows. You see entities lying in bed with the occupants of the house. You're seeing dead bodies hanging from trees. You are seeing shadow people that you're so frightened of that you can't be in the room. I mean, what she sees is horrible. She doesn't see anything good. And I'm like,
how can you do this?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not how can she see it, it's how can she stand to see it.
Yes. I mean, what she sees, it scares the living daylights, because on one episode, there was a massacre in some prison. I think it was in Mexico. It was huge, where the inmates just, you know, took over the prison. And they were shooting a movie in this prison. And one of the actresses was having a problem in her home. And what happened was that she took an item that was in the prison, that was in one of the jail cells. She took a hat home. And she gave it to her son. And when she did that, because have you seen that one? Oh, you've done that before, Bill? Is that what you said?
No.
I do it all the time.
But she took into her home what was part of this darkness that was in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
This shadow, the shadow person, and she took it home with her, and she was just becoming very ill, and she was sick, and it was heartbreaking, because she just broke down and started crying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen a lot of these shows, but I've never seen anything like this. I mean, it's just
right.
It's horrible in a lot of ways. It's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to Bill the other day, and I was like, let's start a business with haunted objects. And he's just, no. And, I mean, you know, I didn't want to, like, live in the shop, but I guess he's right.
I'm a witness episode with a divot box or whatever it was, and what happens to that girl in the shop. And do you remember that?
Yeah.
I am doing that.
Yeah, but see, I was also thinking about, what if we, like, you know, collected antiques, like you know, curiosities and just different interesting items. But the thing is, I mean, not only do you have to go through the process of making sure these items are worth anything, but I mean, a lot of times you really may end up with something that's like that. And I guess I understand. And I even thought about, what if we became those people that had, like, you know, seances? And if I can't even make it through an episode of Paranormal Witness, I don't think that I need.
Yeah, you're going to do that.
But, I mean, it's always interesting to kind of think about it.
Yeah. And matter of fact, there is a show on TV that's called Haunted Collections or Haunted
Collector. Yeah, The Haunted Collector.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that show is good.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good show. I believe
it is
that.
A good show.
I mean, I really believe what that guy does is very legit. I do.
Mm-hmm. And then there's Ghost. Have you ever seen Ghost Adventures?
Yeah.
Is that all the time? That's the show that I can't get into it. I can't get
Ghost
into Ghost Adventures.
Yeah.
But he loves it. He loves it.
Yeah. I think the one thing that really aggravates me that makes me mad is that people go into these situations and they're yelling and they're having these confrontations with the spirits in the house. And I'm like, I mean, are you there to aggravate them or are you there to help them?
Right.
That's what I don't understand. It's like you come in with your equipment. Are you there to aggravate them? Are you there to actually help them?
Right. I think they did a bit of both. I mean, there was an episode where that one of the blokes at the new daughter had been killed, and they were trying to get communication. He's the bloke who actually invented the melameter. It's used in the show because it's named after the name was Melanie or something. So I think they were helping out there because they were trying to get evidence and communication from their daughter to help them out. But yeah, sometimes they do, if they're not getting any results, they do tend to provoke.
Yeah, that kind of aggravates me a little bit.
So they get to
Because I'm like, can you imagine being in the spirit and just being aggravated by the living? I mean, it's like, are you there to help them? And then you turn around and you call it evil or this dark evil demon. I'm like, well, how do you know that? I mean, really? How do you really know that?
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like the people that are going and doing this, that are doing these investigations, are they intuitive? Are they psychic? Or, you know what I mean? Or are they just somebody just saying, you know what, hey, let's go and do this. And then get scared because now they're getting confirmation. And then they turn around and run out. It's like, I don't get it. It's like, you know, I wouldn't do it, though. No way. No. Now, you guys do that, right? You do paranormal investigations, right?
Bill does.
Oh, okay. You don't do that, Nunu? I thought you did that too.
No, I haven't. No. I haven't. No. No. I mean, you know, I'm glad to hold the fort down.
I'm in cellars.
I've been red orbs flying between my legs and all kinds of things.
And things crawling all over you. I'm fine to not deal.
I'm still waiting for the videos for them. You know, I need to get in contact with them. I should be getting 2 DVDs of each night that I've, you know, the recent ones I've been to. But they haven't come through. It's been a few months yet. I need to find out where they are. So I want to watch the videos, the evidence.
But it takes forever for them to come. They probably said that so you'll forget about them.
Well, the editing process can be a long time.
Wow.
And I know that one of the founder of the Spirit Quest team, mother was in hospital during the attack. She had to be rushed in that night when I was at the last place. So you don't know what's happened.
And people, they get caught up in their own thing.
Yeah.
We'll just have to see.
Well, thank you, guys. It's good to hear your voice. It's very good.
Thank you so
voice.
Much.
Thanks, Gordon.
Yeah, thank you.
I always
thank
like
you.
To hear from you. Always like to hear
you too.
From you.
You too.
Okay,
like
dear.
You guys. You're wonderful. I really, really like your show. I really do. I love it. I absolutely
love
it.
We appreciate that.
Thank you.
What keeps us going.
Absolutely. Many blessings.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We had some callers, and I think they had to go do something else, and they'll call back. But if anybody wants to give us a call, our number is 347-215-8421. So
I think we need to start talking about Mel's hole.
Not his dirty hole.
I can't see the lights. Now, Mel's hole. Mel Waters is a bloke, and the hole was on his land. And it was on his land near Ellensburg in Washington. A geographic anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
A paranormal anomaly. A hibbity-hobbity. Sorry, the light's shining on my screen. I can't see what I'm doing. Right. It's got his hole in his back garden. I haven't got my notes. One second, I'll just grab my notes.
He had to go get his notes, everybody. But Mel's hole is basically, it's an anomaly discovered by Mel Waters on his land, and this guy was near Ellensburg, Washington. And he claimed that he lived near or in Manitosh River, Washington.
Lived in the river?
About 9 miles due west of Ellensburg. Though later investigation revealed that they didn't believe that he really lived in the area. They couldn't find his name or on tax records or anything like that. But if you've listened to Coast Radio with Art Bell, and they even have the interviews saved, because this is an awesome, 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 very intriguing, amazing interview. And even though this is something that's kind of considered an urban legend now, it's very believable. It's just very believable. But anyway, Bill is back with his notes. And what were you going to say?
I can't remember the size of the hole. The hole was in his back garden. I think it was about 9 feet across.
Yeah, 9 feet.
A little stone wall around, about 3.5 feet tall. And that stone carried on down into the hole for about 15 feet down. And I think it probably just turned into soil and stuff, what I thought, after that. Anyway, people were, it wouldn't echo. You shout into it, there's no echoes. Dogs wouldn't go near it. They didn't like it. People would chuck stuff in there. I think they threw, like, refrigerators in there and stuff. And
roller skates.
And also TV tubes.
TV tubes.
To see if they would break.
Right.
Hear them breaking, but never heard anything. There was one bloke who, his dog died, and I can't really say gracefully throw it in there.
He put the dog in the hole.
Anyway, but not long after, he swears that he saw his dog. It looked exactly the same, but it was with another hunter walking around. It's weird. So he wanted to see how deep the hole was. And he had a friend who was went fishing for sharks and stuff like that. and he got a 5,000-yard spool with a 1-pound triangular weight on the end to lower it into the hole. And I think he first of all did 1,500 yards, and he put lifesavers, sweets, I think, are they, on the end of it to see if they would dissolve, see if there was water at the bottom. So he reeled it down about 1,500 yards, which is a long way, and that they hadn't dissolved. And the most he got to was 5,000 yards of, which is 15.15 miles. I reckon he still hadn't reached the bottom. It's a long way. And the deepest known hole is 1,600 feet, which is in the ocean somewhere. So that's deeper than any known hole. But then people have been calling in saying, well, you're asking them questions about it. Which they had a valid point with regards to the weight of the line. Depends on, I think it was something like it took 20 pounds, you know, there's a 20-pound line or something. That doesn't seem right. Must have actually stronger than that, especially if you're dealing with sharks. Anyway, how much did that line weigh? And surely if you lowered, like, all of it into the hole, there'd be all that weight, all that tension on the line.
About 20 pounds of test fishing line.
Maybe it would break. So there was something they found around the hole as well, which was a coin. Which to me makes it start sound like it's some sort of weird parallel universe kind of anomaly hole. It was a dime. I think it was minted 1943 with Roosevelt's face on it.
Right.
And each coin is marked with a letter which indicates which city it came from, which city it was minted in, and the dime was marked with B. And no city which has ever minted U.S. currency has ever begun with the letter B. So that's weird. It's like this coin that shouldn't exist, did exist, and now it's next to this hole. People were thinking, you know, is it a mine shaft? You know, but I think that'd be, I don't know, it's quite, it was quite a perfect circular hole as well. So, I wonder if it got hot down there, with it being so deep. Or maybe it was a doorway to the Hollow Earth. Hollow Earth theory. What's that noise?
Nothing.
No, it sounded like someone banging or knocking.
I was scratching my
No, it wasn't that.
I didn't hear anything.
Oh. Seriously, it sounded like someone banging. Mel put a lid on the hole to stop, you know, health and safety reasons. He'd be falling into that hole. He'd probably die of boredom before he hit the bottom. So, after he appeared on the Coast to Coast show, the day after the broadcast, Mel returned to his property and was blocked by uniformed people claiming that there was a plane crash, and Mel could not enter his property for the time being. Mel didn't believe him, as he saw no smoke or other evidence of a crash. He was then warned that a drug lab could easily be found, in inverted commas, on his property if he didn't turn around, which is a threat, basically, saying, you know, if you don't do this, we'll certainly find this meth lab. Mel then threatened to go to the press. So what these uniformed people did, they offered to lease the property for $250,000 a month, which he accepted. Anything you'd like to, would you like to
add anything?
Say anything? Or would you like to continue?
No.
Okay, Mel relocated to Australia. And Art Bell actually confirmed this relocation because he got an email, which was, I think, I'm sure it was an email, which had come from Australia. And whoever they were that were leasing this property off and helped him move to Australia because they let his dogs come with him and made sure that they didn't have to go into the quarantine, which was something like 6 weeks or 6 months or something. Usually they didn't have to do that. And some of his plants as well.
They were able to just go right through.
Yeah, without, you know, completely sidestepping regulations. They paid him as promised regularly and on time every month between the March of 1997 to December of 1999. So that's a lot of money. That's a few million dollars.
That's a lot of money. Time.
And Mel worked on a wombat rescue and research center, something that he always wanted to do, and spent most of his money on that. Mel returned to the U.S. in December of 1999 to visit his family and appear on the Coast to Coast show again. The government served him legal papers indicating him as being in violation of building codes on his property, and his land was seized. To help his nephew move, Mel got on a bus in Tacoma, headed for Olympia. There was an altercation on the bus, and the police asked Mel to give a statement. Mel said no, he had to get back to Olympia, to which the police said they could give him a ride in the van. That was the last thing Mel remembered of that trip. 12 days later, Mel woke up in an alley in San Francisco. He had been badly beaten. His molars were missing. There was evidence that Mel had been hooked up to an IV. Mel's homemade belt buckle had been stolen. Now, his homemade belt buckle was made out of that coin that he found. Art Bell had his dentist help him out, and the money was now missing out of Mel's account. Mel's Wombat Research facility was dismantled and his employees laid off. Mel's nephew bought him a bus ticket back to Washington, and that's where he reappeared on the show to tell everybody what had happened. So, I mean, so far, I mean, this is pretty freaking crazy. And, you know, the information is interesting and, you know, detailed. And I imagine if you did the research, you could probably find the wombat center that he set up and things like
right.
that. So, you know, it's... Even though it's very difficult to believe, well, it's unbelievable, and it's going to get even more unbelievable, I want it to be true, because it's one of the most amazing stories, and I've actually, when I was listening to it, I was just there in shock at some point. I was like, what? What? What happened? What did it look like? What? So... Let's have a look.
Are you looking at the Wombat Center?
No. Are you?
Well, I was looking around. What are you looking up now?
Oh, I was just going to carry on with the story.
Okay, go.
Now, you listened to this more recently than I did. But he goes on to mention that this is from memory now. That there were some Indians in it not too far away that had another hole in their land, the same as Mel's.
Right.
And this one had a metal collar around it. Probably in the same that I mentioned. Let me see if the...
I can't remember if they were the same dimensions or not.
Well, I'll tell you what, here you go. I'll just stick with the bullet points on here.
Okay.
And this is after his return to the U.S. It sounds like he found a few of these. He found a lucky money envelope, a Chinese lucky money envelope, which had dimes in it. It wasn't just one dime, it was a few, and he made these belt buckles, and someone had bought one off him. Anyway, Mel, this is back when he's in the US. Mel tracked down a man who purchased one of Mel's homemade belt buckles years earlier. I'm sure his belt buckle was taken off him as well, what he was missing for the 12 days, you know. They found that a Roosevelt diamond belt buckle had been minted prior to the first minting of such diamonds and indicated to be minted in an unknown city. The Treasury Department confiscated the coin. Mel's former wife had vanished and could not be tracked down. Mel pointed out his land had been inexplicably removed from online terror server images.
That was true.
Yeah, that's true.
Because somebody had looked it up while they were doing the show,
yeah,
and he said that there was a black square over where his home was supposed to be. When you looked it up on, it was some satellite thing, like a satellite way of looking things up, and they actually had... They put a copy of the picture up on the website, on Art Bell's website or whatever.
So they say a TV crew once investigated his land and found evidence of a military presence. And some of the locals said they had occasionally seen black anti-light beams shooting into the sky near the hole. So it gets to be like a black light, which
right.
is difficult to, it's like a beam of some sort. And a friend of Mel said that he had delivered large quantities of fiber optic equipment to a group of Israelis in a warehouse in Ellensburg. Another trucker Mel knows said he delivered scientific instruments to the same warehouse from the LLNL, a scientific laboratory in San Francisco, which does research for the military. So with that being in such close location, it's very well with all that fiber optic equipment, large quantities of it, they're going to be using for the whole, you know, by the time of it. Now, this other hole. A group of Native Americans about Melton, Nevada, discussed their mutual interest in wild plants. Mel asked them about a variety of plants which grew near the hole where he used to live, and they showed him an area where the plants grew. The area was inhabited by a group of Basque settlers who had been there since the 1800s. Basque villages surrounded another hole, similar to the first hole. So I had a metal rim that's about 2 feet wide and 2 feet tall. A guide notches in the side.
And they called it a collar.
Yeah, and which lines the interior of the hole as far as down as the eye can see. And so notches on it. So they also said something like, it sounded almost as if something was supposed to slot into place around it.
Right, right.
That's just weird. The metal rim disappears from view when observed over an unspecified distance. bless you.
Thank you.
And it cancels out sound above, within, and on the metal rim. So I think if you hit it, it didn't reverberate or anything. And also it gave off a weird, I think it had some sort of warmth next to it, because, you know, when they were out camping, because obviously, you know, the natives, they were actually sleeping near it, because the warmth come off in like a strange vibratory kind of feeling. Animals were also afraid to go near this hole, and a black beam had been seen coming from the hole, just as some witness around the one in this property. Mel and the villagers decided to experiment. This is where it gets really weird. And I'll save it for the next show.
What?
I'm just kidding. The first experiment they tried was to lower a bucket of store-bought ice down into the pit as far as they could, 1,500 feet. Meanwhile, they kept another bucket of ice with them on the surface as control and waited for the control ice to melt halfway. And they hoisted the ice back up to see how they compare. So you see what's going on there, so they could see the control bucket on the surface had melted about half the way. If the one in the hole had melted more, which means it was hotter down there, but if it hadn't melted much, it means it was cooler down there.
Right.
The ice did not melt. However, the ice was now lukewarm, and even stranger, it continued to remain solid even while sitting in Mel's hands. They decided to try harder to melt the ice by cooking it over a fire pit. Rather than melting, the lukewarm ice caught on fire. It was a heat-producing flame, but not a large yellow flame, more like a light flicker. Mel says the bucket of ice continued to burn for months. Months? And he presumed that it was still burning at the moment he was telling the story on air. One guy even took some of the burning ice home to put in the stove, and it's been keeping his cabin warm in the winter. They repeated the bucket experiment, and it only worked about one in three at the time. It got mixed results trying the same experiments. One of the Basques wanted to be loaded into the hole himself. They talked him out of it because of what happened to the ice. Instead, they lowered a sheep into the pit. Now, this is what's weird. It says as well, that's when things got weird. If it wasn't weird enough, this is really weird. The sheep wouldn't have it. It kicked, it screamed, it panicked. Like all animals, refused to go near the hole. It put such a valiant fight to the point that it successfully stopped its captors from succeeding with the plan as expected. But the Basques were determined, so they knocked the sheep between the eyes and stunned it enough to put it in the crate with a cable attached for lowering, and then brought it over to the hole. The sheep came to just before they got it to the hole, and it went berserk inside of the crate, knowing what was about to happen. It produced the sort of blood-curdling lamb scream that you couldn't tell Hannibal Lecter about. It sounds bad, this, and they did feel bad about doing it, by the way. Once the crate with the lamb inside was positioned directly over the pit, all noise stopped. The lamb was still shaking the box violently, but over the hole, not a sound could be heard. The descending sheep struggled inside the box as the curious amateur scientist lowered it down, but by the halfway point on the length of the cable, further movement, if there was any, it ceased to be obvious or noticeable. At the end of the line, the 1,500 feet, Mel and the villagers felt a strange and fuzzy vibration in the metal rim. They left the sheet below for half an hour, and they began to hoist it back to the top. The box was definitely not moving anymore. Everything looked good from the outside of the box, but inside, the sheep is now dead. It too looked normal on the outside, so a Basque butcher decided to dissect the animal on a nearby table. Inside, it looked like the sheep had been cooked. The villager notices a strange gel surrounding an enormous tumorous growth inside the sheep. They removed the tumor, which appeared to be moving like a pulsing fleshy sac. He cut open the tumor, and a fleshy creature emerged that looked like an 18-inch long cross between a fetus and a seal, flippers and all, but the eyes looked human. It was alive and connected to the tumor with an umbilical cord. The creature observed its human fathers with reverence, disconnected itself from the cord, and gave Mel a feeling of being in the presence of a miracle. One of the Basques suggests killing it. They did not. The thing crawled to the edge of the table and looked up at Mel, who seemed to feel connected to it in some way. Mel felt compelled to pick it up and put it on the ground. The goo left on Mel's hands smelled like ozone. As the tiny miracle laid on its belly, it looked up at the humans surrounding it and studied each of them, each in turn, as though it had intelligence. They stood there staring at this being for 2 hours as though hypnotized. Mel describes this being's gaze, the most compassionate look he's ever witnessed. The creature makes its way toward the hole, and Mel feels compelled to help it onto the metal rim. The creature then gave the men a slow nod. It then turned around and plunged itself back into the hole. The witnesses were deeply moved, emotionally drained by the experience. They ultimately decided to dump the remains of the sheep back into the hole. Mel claims that in late August, prior to going to the Nevada desert, he'd be diagnosed with a lethal form of esophageal cancer. They gave him 6 months to live. After returning home from Nevada, the cancer was gone. Mel believes the creature had healed him. Before leaving Nevada, Mel says a Basque elder told him that he had always believed the hole was spiritual in nature. The man seemed not to be surprised about the story of the creature. This Basque elder, before going off to bed, closed an object in Mel's hand and told him to put it away. Mel put it in his pocket without looking at it. Later, Mel reached into his pocket and pulled out something that this old man had found in the area, stuffed in the red envelope. It was a 1943 Roosevelt dime. There's more, but I only could take it. Breath for them, but that was weird. Not a lot of things shock me like that. You know, I mean, I suppose I got to believe the story for me to be. I was sat in bed listening to it, and I was right. Just sat there with my mouth open, like, what? What did they cut out of the sheep? I was like, this is one of the weirdest things I've ever.
That's the only part of the story that makes me feel like I can't believe it.
I know. I mean, am I naive for believing it? Or, you know, I just want to believe. And there's evidence to support some of it, but it makes you wonder, though.
I know.
There's a bit more. I think the majority of the last bit, I think, is about this ice that the other bloke took home and put it in the stove. Do you want to play a song or anything before I continue?
Yeah, let's play a song. Let's get a little bit of a break and play a little bit of a song. I'm trying to find something to listen to. I want to listen to something awesome. But all the songs that you want to hear are not that. Let's see.
What, my songs aren't awesome?
You know I'm just kidding.
I've got Marilyn Manson on there, Linkin Park, you know.
Like I said.
What?
I'm going to listen to something else. But this is Broken Earth. If anybody wants to call us, our number is 347 215-8421, Broken Earth Radio Show, and we will be right back.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and for the past 3 years, my trusted guide and friend, Nunu, has helped me along the journey of change and growth. Her sincerity and clear insights have brought new understandings and developments to my life. I am proud to know her, to be her client, and to have her support in my life. Thank you, Nunu.
We'll be right back.
Hello, welcome back. Sorry, I was just finishing eating something. And you were like, you go. Chocolate covered raisins.
Chocolate covered blueberries.
So, yeah, welcome back and stuff.
Hi, it's Broken Earth Radio. If you want to give us a call, our lines are open. The number's 347 215-8421.
Yeah. This bloke's giving the dime, which is weird. It's pretty weird. In December 2002, came back onto the show for an update. Helicopters had been flying over the village with the hole regularly. Mel has since been informed that a metal collar around the new hole becomes invisible when an observer reaches a particular distance away from it. Now it seems the mysterious 1943 Dian disappears from view at 15 feet away and does not show up on film nor digital scanner. Weird. Although, if it wasn't real, it would be a good way to get out of showing any evidence of it, you know. Now updates is about strange burning ice. You all right there?
Yes, you can.
That's right, you seem to be in shock and awe. Now updates is blah, blah, blah. The burning ice, you know, they've got the bucket of ice and loaded into the hole. It lets us know that the man who began using a can of ever-burning ice as a heat source in his wood stove for the cooler months. The Basque guy was noticing that in his house he was always thirsty and the air was always dry, and even his skin began getting very dry. He would place a kettle of water on the top of the stove to humidify the area, but one day he noticed it looked like the steam from the stove was lingering around the stove and even being absorbed by it. One day this man came home and found the stove had crashed through the hearth and floorboards of his cabin and was sunken up into the ground below. Have you heard any of this bit? It's interesting. Faced with the dangers of the frigid air, the cabin owner patches up his stovepipe and continues to use the stove as it's below his floor to heat his home. A week or two later, the man returns home to find his entire cabin has been disintegrated into piles of dry wood dust. So he leaves the pile behind and moves in with his brothers. A month later, he returns to find that the stove is now sunken 5 feet into the ground, leaving a glassy, smooth surface to the hole it creates. At this point, the man contacts Mel and tells him the story. Mel decides the best course of action is to contact one of the mysterious officials who was one of his contacts when he was in Australia. That acts deeply troubled and concerned, and insists with great urgency that Mel explain to him where the cabin was and how to get to it. The cabin owner gets in contact with them and shows them where it is. The Basque gentleman then decides to hide somewhere in the hills nearby and watch what is done about the sinking stove. A team is dispatched to deal with it. He can't tell whether they are military or scientists or what, but they brought out a lot of heavy-duty construction equipment to the site, including cranes. It never seems to be enough. They continue to bring heavy and heavy equipment in, and in their attempts to extract this stove and its contents, they're having trouble lifting it, even with multiple cranes. Eventually, they drop some chains into the ground and pour water over them. With multiple cranes, they were able to hoist the stove out of the ground and load it onto what described as the biggest truck he'd ever seen in his life. Then they hauled it away. The ice reminds Mel of the fictional substance Ice Nine described in Kirk Vonnegut's book, Cat's Cradle. Ice Nine was a form of water molecule that freezes at high temperature and converts surrounding water to the same form of molecule. It's a theoretical substance that could freeze all water. Shh. on Earth. And certain people with the statues. Vonnegut got the idea from this anyway. It's really...
Right.
Malice, since being under the impression that it's being followed, saying that people he wanted to talk to ended up finding him, even though he's not easy to find. Therefore, he has decided to not to return to the hole, fearing that someone might find their way to it through him. The Basti informed them now that the creature that had emerged from the deep sheep had returned multiple times since it dove back into the hole for the first time. The Basti say they have found a way to communicate with the creature. It speaks to them through one of their boom boxes. The Basques tried recording the dialogue, but the only thing that showed up on the tape was not dialogue, but a series of random and pulsating tones. Mal theorizes that the creature may be a rock flyer, a creature of legendary to Native Americans, which live beneath the earth and can travel between multiple earths. The creature warned the Basques about burning the ice, too. It told them, "The ice can and would destroy the earth in a very short amount of time if improperly used. They anticipate that greedy and undisciplined use of the ice would probably occur in this world." The creature says there are intelligent beings on other worlds who anticipate that the human race will destroy itself through nuclear war, and they plan to move in once we're gone and use the ice on this planet. Mellis told, "That's when the burning ice is discovered in the universe. It's almost always improperly used." With that, the interview ended, and nobody has heard from Mel Waters since. What's this here? I need to look into this. Something called Kimberly's Hole.
That doesn't sound like it.
I mean, if you want to listen to the full thing, go and check out Coast to Coast AM on YouTube with, I think the whole thing, been coming back a couple of times. It might even be about 6 hours long, the whole lot. But I hope I explained it clearly enough to everybody, and you're intrigued. I understand that people don't believe it, but I like to believe it because it's so amazing, you know. It sounds like some straight out of a science fiction book, but maybe Fetus Seal will come and visit you in your sleep tonight and talk to you through your...
It's Man Bear Pig. You know it's Man Bear Pig. Can we take a call?
Yeah, I'm going to rest my eyes.
Okay. We're going to take a call. We're going to talk to the person at 337. 337, this is Nunu and Bill at Broken Earth Radio. How can we help you?
Hi, Nunu. This is Tamla. How are you?
Hi, good. Good. Nice to talk to you.
I know you know me. I just didn't call through the computer. This is Gemini Diva.
Yes, it's the Gemini Diva.
Goodness, you crack me up every time I hear that. Oh, goodness gracious. She calls me the Gemini Diva.
Gemini Diva.
I just wanted to tell you that I'm enjoying this show. And I just wanted to just check in just to see if there's anything else that you can pick up with me. Because last time we spoke, you were kind of hitting on some good points for me that I needed to kind of work on and look out for.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just kind of see if there's anything coming up anytime soon.
Okay.
Hold on just a moment. Let's see.
Okay.
Okay, this is something that's kind of, you know, we're going to yeah. Okay. Well, let's think about this. Now, are you planning, or how can I put this? Do you have a traditional trip that you take, or is there a family reunion coming up this summer? If there's something going on this summer that looks like it's something that is something that you do, but I don't want to confuse you. My tradition card is upside down, which means I think it's something that you guys may plan. It's something that maybe it doesn't happen every year, mm-hmm. but it's still something that kind of scheduled, you know, like tentatively scheduled, and it looks like you may be concerned you won't have the money for it, but it looks like you actually will.
I don't know. I've been getting that a lot, travel, but it's like, because I know at the end of the month, this month, one of my friends was going to appear on a talk show, and they didn't call him the producers didn't call him to schedule everything, and I was excited because it was all expense paid, and I was like, well, if they need a second person to come, as long as I'm not on the panel, I don't mind coming, so... they didn't hear anything. They didn't hear anything back on that. So maybe that could be it.
Well, it does look like it's something that my timing. Let me think about the timing. It looks like it's something that's supposed to be happening soon. So This is the deal. If by chance, let's make it through this week. Let's make it through next week. The next week is let me look at my calendar here, and I'm going to put another week on top of it just in case. So, yeah, that would be like the week of the 3rd, June the 3rd. So we're going to see what happens between the 3rd and the 10th because it does look like that is actually going to happen, and it's something that you'll be able to do.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's just something cool. We'll just see what happens over the next couple of weeks. You know what I mean? And so that'll be interesting. That'll be very interesting. But, yeah, it does look like it's going to happen. It does look like it's going to happen.
Okay.
So it only looks like it's something that's going on for a couple of days. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
I was also thinking about Georgia. Do you see Georgia coming up for me as far as visiting?
Okay, let's see. Whatever trip this is, it looks like it's a 4-day trip. But hold on, let me look and see about Georgia. Hold on just a moment. Yeah, there looks like that's possible. It's very possible, and it's also this also looks like it's in the month of June. Yeah.
Oh,
now,
wow.
just in case, I know it is very busy, but just in case my timing is a little bit off, it could be August.
Okay,
it could be August, but it does look like there might be a time that you're planning it, and it says that you may miss out on it, like if like let's say that you were planning on going next week, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But it does look like it's going to happen, but it looks like it may just be a little bit further off. It could be a little bit further off. But, yeah, it does look like you're doing a lot of traveling or just, you know, more than you may usually do.
Because, like, I had been going through a lot with my daughter, you know, like, I have two children. The baby, she moved out on her own. My son is 22. He'll be 23. And it's like I'm going through empty nest syndrome a little bit. I'm moving out of there. It's getting better. So now it's just like I get signs and everything saying that it's either travel or moving. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to stop the universe from blessing me. But it's kind of like coming quickly. And it's like I have to tune in because I don't want to miss out on anything that could be good for me, because in the past I had little babies to worry about and made sure I had a babysitter and all that good stuff, but I'm not in that stage anymore. So it just seems like I'm moving toward a different stage in my life. Is that what you're picking up as well?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Like you're going to be able to put a lot of things together you know, to just do a lot of things for yourself and try to do things big. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's honestly, it is absolutely nothing to go to France. You know what I mean? It's nothing to you know, to do things a little bit bigger and louder and do things that you always wanted to do. And one of the things that we got to remember, too, is that, I mean, it's you know, traveling big like that, everybody speaks English. You know, everybody does. So, it, you know, just have go places and have a good time and see places and do things, you know, that you always really wanted to do, especially because now, you know, you're just really focusing on yourself and mm-hmm. you can make a plan and then a couple of months later, you know, do it. You know, it's
right.
There's nothing like that. There's just nothing mm-hmm. like being able to just, you know, throw caution to the wind and go do something for yourself. So,
I feel so free. It's just unbelievable.
Can I ask you a crazy question?
Sure.
Okay. A couple of weeks ago, I had the nastiest beignets.
Oh.
And
did you order them?
This may sound silly.
Yeah, did you order them did you make it yourself or did you buy it from a place?
No, there's this place that is near my mother's house and they make beignets and we had been getting them and they were fluffy and puffy and delicious and they were like, and these were like thick and kind of flat, and I had an argument with a friend of mine because I know that beignets can look like whatever you do. I mean, they're just fried dough, but uh-huh. do they traditionally come thick and flat
no,
or are they usually puffy?
They're puffy and very light, and then they put powdered sugar on
yeah.
it because New Orleans, I'm in Louisiana, New Orleans is 2 hours away, and we don't eat a lot where I'm from because where I'm from, they eat a lot of the pig. They eat, you know, like boudin and hard cracklings and the pork stuff like that.
Right.
And they don't do the beignets too much because beignets is part of the New Orleans culture. They do it here, but not as
right.
much.
Right, okay.
But whenever I go to New Orleans,
okay.
I make sure I go to Café Du Monde and I get some. And they're very, oh, girl, they're very much like a filo dough almost. Very,
right.
very
yeah,
good.
They're supposed to be
yeah.
light and fluffy. It's like you're eating a piece
yes.
of air with sugar on it. Yeah, because we had been, we were going, like the last full moon, my brother was here and he was beignet, and we got to go get some beignet, you know, so we were getting beignets and we were eating them and it was just so good. And then we went back and got some and it was just the most nasty experience. And the thing is, it was the first time I'd ever had them was with him. And so I was like, oh my gosh, it's like we're eating air. And every, you know, they were
yeah.
gone within like 2 minutes, you know, everybody was like,
Cafe
gone.
Place in New Orleans. The place in New Orleans has a website. If you want to do it yourself and just see if you can experience the taste, it's mm-hmm. Café Du Monde, DEMONDE, and they have a mm-hmm. website where they give baskets, and it's wonderful. They have everything, the syrup, the ingredients to make it, and all kind of other stuff.
Oh, that sounds
and,
nice. I think I might do that. I might do that.
Yeah, CafeDuMonde.com, and then that way you can kind of get a taste. Because it originally started in New Orleans, and they have a lot of people who try to make it, but it's just not the same. Because if I had to have it my
yeah.
way, I would just get the mixing and just try to do it at home or just go to New Orleans and get it. That would probably be
right.
good for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to travel big. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, dear.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. So our show is almost over. We got 10 more minutes.
Well, I'm going to say something that some people may seem as quite controversial. Obama was talking about the Boston bombings last week, and quote, he said, "Anytime bombs are used to target innocent civilians, is an act of terrorism." Okay, which
mm-hmm.
is, that's true.
Right.
Well, a bomb has authorized 193 drone strikes in Pakistan, four times the amount authorized by George W. Bush, According to the global research, over the past 4 years, Obama has authorized attacks in Pakistan, which have killed more than 800 innocent civilians and just 22 Al-Qaeda officers. That constitutes at least 36 civilians per target. So, you know, I'm just going to let people figure that out for themselves, but, you know what I mean?
No.
It annoys me.
What are you trying to say?
I'm being serious with it, really. It annoys me. But
I know you're being serious. I know you're being serious. I know you're bothered by this.
I mean, what's the difference between that? And the thing is, he claims that the drone strikes are precise and only target terrorists. But, you know, the Columbia Law School Human Rights Institute, I think, have got the figures there. As many as 98% of those killed by drone strikes are civilians. So, is there any difference between bombs like the Boston Marathon bombing and, you know, drone strikes being authorized to bomb innocent civilians in another country? And it's got a list of all the children here, all their names and ages. A big list. Anyway, but I just want people to start thinking about that. And maybe the authorities will come to get me later, but you know, it's got to be said. But I'm glad that we eventually got Mel's Hall talked about, because we've been planning to do it for a long time.
Yeah, we have.
That's good. And I have to investigate that Kimberly's Hall thing. I haven't read it. But sounds interesting.
Check that out. Well, you know, I am not sure exactly when we'll be talking with Bob Register. Maybe it's just a tease. But I haven't heard from him in a couple of weeks, but, you know, he is, you know, he's the one that's doing this country music legend, or maybe it's, I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be called, but it's just like ghost hunting or ghost, you know, just haunted tour, you know, with people that, it was Loretta Lynn is one of the people that's on the tour, you know. So he's still putting it together. So whenever we find out about that, we'll be letting you know. We'll be letting everybody know about that. And we're not sure what we're going to talk about next week yet, but I do want to close the show out properly. So is there anything you wanted to say before we head out?
No, just thanks for listening. If anybody wants to get in contact with us, you can go on Facebook, the Broken Earth Radio page, or Psychic Nunu. There's a link for our website there. If you want to get in contact with me to shout at me for controversial things, my name is Bill Doyle. That's D-O-Y-L-E at live.com. If you want to send me an email, have any interesting experiences or anything you'd like me to read out on the show and you're not sure about calling up yourself, then please send them to me and I might read them out in a future show. Maybe even next week if you send them to me. Over the next few days.
All right. Now, remember, True Blood will be starting back on June the 16th. And there's a lot of great television programs that are going to be coming back, but True Blood, which a lot of people love, will be coming back soon. So I think we should head out with a little True Blood.
Did you know the Asian guy? I don't watch The Walking Dead. Do you know who the Asian guy is on it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
You know who that is?
Yeah.
And you know what film he was from?
No.
He's out of Indiana Jones. He's the young kid.
That is not him.
It is, totally.
No,
that's
it's
what I
not
heard.
Him. That, it's not
that's
him.
That's what I heard.
It's not
somebody
him.
Somebody said that.
It's not.
It's not him? How
no.
do you know?
Because I know it's not him.
Oh, am I? Someone give me false information? This is what happens, people. You're doing research, your claims, and you start bragging about these claims, you see. You just get shot down like I just did.
I'm sorry. But no, it's not him. Hold on, I'm just making sure of what that guy's, of what the Chinese child from Indiana Jones' name is. It's Jonathan Ke Kwan.
Right.
And the guy from Walking Dead, his name is Stephen Yeun.
Why have I got this information from me?
I don't know. Somebody who thinks that all Asians look alike? I don't know.
Whoa! What?
I said from somebody who thinks all Asians look alike, I guess. I don't know.
Whoa, I thought I said controversial things.
Hey, I'm Asian. I can say that. Okay, I'm not really Asian, but anyway.
Well, it says here, someone said.
It's not.
Did you know Glenn from Walking Dead was Shorty from Indiana Jones?
He is not Shorty. He is short round. He's not short round. No, he's not. He's not. It's okay.
No, I'm sorry for being wrong, everybody.
It's okay. I'm here for you. I'm always here to tell you when you're wrong. And with that, we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to do that again.
When you came in, the air went out. And every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you. I'm the kind to sit up in his room, heart sick and eyes filled up with blue. I don't know what you've done to me, but I know this much is true. I wanna do bad things with you. Things with